The Postcast, brought to you by Boyle Sports. Best odds guaranteed, available the day before racing on singles, multiples, online and in shop. Time to switch? Boyle Sports. This is betting.
Welcome along to the Postcast. It's the Racing Post's regular Friday preview show, and I can safely say that this is the worst racing weekend of the year. But do not zone out, because we've got a fantastic panel, and a winner is a winner regardless of the quality of the race. I'm Bruce Millington, and I'm joined by David Jennings and Graham Rodway from the Racing Post, and we've also got Boyle Sports chief trader Pordy Hassett. So, like I say, the fair is not fantastic this week, but it is competitive. There is just a lack of quality. Here's what we've got on ITV4. Four races from Haydock, three from Beverly, one from Chester. We will see what else the team fancy. But first of all, because we do like to talk about quality horses on the show, let's have a chat about the Derby and the Oaks. The Oaks is a week away and the Derby is 8 days away. So we'll see who the lads fancy. I will first spin you through Boyle Sports prices. On the Oaks, like I say, next Friday, they go 10 to 11, Emily Upjohn, 4 Nashua, 6 Concert Hall, 7 with the Moonlight, 15 to 2 Tuesday and 14 bar. And there is only one place to start, because if you read the Racing Post today, you will have read Graham Rodway's piece in which he says basically that Emily Upjohn is one of the worst value favourites of all time. Tell us more, G-Rod.
Yeah, I just don't think she should be as short as she is, Bruce. You know, don't get me wrong. She's been very impressive in what she's done. She was good at Sandown and she was very good at York. But I don't understand the big fuss about her, really. I don't see a star there, and the form's nothing special. I mean, that Sandown race worked out pretty appallingly before the horse of Stouts that came out and won at Goodwood last week, Crystal or something, came out and won, and then the York race again. The good old Finn Filly in second. I don't think that's anywhere near as good as With the Moonlight, which is going to be their number one hope going into the race. She had only won a maiden going. I think the fourth was rated in the 80s. I just think the form is definitely no stronger than that boasted by Nashua, for example, her stablemate. And for me, Nashua was far more visually impressive at Newbury. The way that she went through the race, she came from off the pace in last in a race where they finished the race at a finish speed of 110%, which basically means they went slowly and sprinted up the straight. So the fact that Nashua was able to come from last to first and win so easily just says an awful lot about the amount of ability she has. And yeah, I mean, if not of course that Frankie doesn't have the choice, of course, because Holly Doyle rides for the owner of Nashua. But you know, if I had the choice between the two Gosden fillies, there's only one I'd be riding, and that'd be Nashua, surely.
Pordy Hassett, what have you got to say for yourself? Why on earth are you making Emily Upjohn 10 to 11 and Nashua 4 when G-Rod says they're the wrong way round?
I think G-Rod, maybe not the wrong way around, but I think he has a fair point. I definitely think there's more value in backing Nashua each way than there is backing Emily Upjohn at a slightly odds on. I thought Nash was very, very impressive. I just thought, like, the race was over in a matter of strides, and then when she got to the front, you can see her idling. She pricks her two ears going through the line. I thought she was super impressive. And outside of Nashua, there's plenty of opposition. You know, Concert Hall could come forward, Tuesday could come forward for the step up and trip. You know, I think you can make a case for quite a few fillies in it. I could see Emily Upjohn being weakish enough and probably go off a bigger price.
Interesting. It's a really fascinating race. DJ, do you concur, or are you slightly more confident about the firm?
No, I'd be more confident about her, Bruce. Like Rodder said in his piece, she should be 5-1. I think that's mad. She's definitely not a 5-1 shot. Like, I thought she did extremely well to win in the manner she did after doing so much wrong at York. And I don't know, like, Rodder's given out about the form. Is the form that bad? Like, she beat Life of Dreams. She beat Life of Dreams in that Misadora. Like, Life of Dreams, I'd say, is not too bad. Like, even the maiden that Life of Dreams won at Newbury, the horse that was 4th home that day came out and won twice since. I don't know. I just thought she did an awful lot wrong and still won by a wide margin without Frankie getting stuck into her at all. I do think she's the most likely winner. Would I back her at odds on? No. Do I see the Nashua point? Yes. I think Nashua is a really talented filly and I can see her running really well. I get that. There's no way Emily Upjohn should be 5-1. Like,
but DJ, surely the fact that she did so much wrong is just another negative, isn't it? I mean, going around Epsom, of course, yeah, she did loads wrong. She was a bit free at York. I remember thinking to myself, gosh, she looks like a work in progress still, Emily Upjohn. And I don't want a work in progress going around Epsom. I want a horse that's, you know, revved up for the moment. And Nashwire is it.
Yeah, well, sure, there's two ways of looking at it, Rodgers. You can say, you know, she's a work in progress, but that a work in progress means there's more to come. And the finished article isn't there. If she's able to achieve a Racing Post rating of 109, despite doing so much wrong in the Mizadora and the size of her, and like she's an absolute beast, she's only going to get better. She can't afford to do what she did wrong at York, at Epsom. I get that point, and I get the point that Nashua is very good. But if all the horses were the same price, surely we'd all be back in Emily Upjohn.
Okay, right then, that's the Oaks. Now, if G-Rod doesn't like the Oaks favourite, he does like the Derby favourite, and that, of course, is Desert Crown, who Boyle Sports goes 7-4. 3-1 Stone Age, 7 Nations Pride, 8 Piz Badil, 8 Changing of the Guard, and 16 Bar. Do you think Desert Crown will shorten between now and post-time, 8 days hence, Pordy?
Yeah, I could see him going off shorter. I thought he was super impressive, and like he has been probably the only horse that's been super impressive. Like Stone Age, obviously very impressive, but he's beaten nothing. Like you'd have to say, his two runs this year have been pretty poor affairs. I thought Desert Crown was unbelievable in York. I thought like that again. He idled when he hit the front. I thought he was only dossing. I thought the place where he was most impressive was when he was going through the line. You know, you just looked like a horse that had loads and loads left. I could see him. Being a very, very good horse.
DJ, what do you think of the Derby?
Yeah, I agree with Paddy. I think Desert Crown is exceptional. And I think he could potentially be one of the better Derby winners. That's obviously getting ahead of ourselves, but I did love what I saw last time at York and the Dante. The one that I think is really rock solid and is almost guaranteed to be placed is Changing of the Guard. I think he's slow, but I think he's a relentless galloper, and I don't see how he finishes out of the first three or four. So he'd be the one from an each way point of view that I could definitely see finishing in the frame, but he doesn't have an inch of the class that Desert Crown has. So I think Desert Crown will be very hard to beat.
Okay, G-Rod, after I read your piece today, I had an each-way double on Desert Crown and Nashua. Was that a sensible bet?
I think it's a very, very good bet, Bruce, yeah. I absolutely love Desert Crown. I think that he was obviously very visually impressive, not only at York, but also on his debut at Nottingham. And both the lads have already said that the best part of his race is always the finish. And you know that you've always got a chance when you've got a horse that where the best part of his race is always the finish. And yeah, let's not forget this horse is trained by Sir Michael Stout and ran only once as a two-year-old and came straight in and won the Dante first time out. Now, even Workforce couldn't do the same. And Workforce was an RPR 130, an absolutely exceptional Derby winner, who, of course, went on to win the Arc. So I think that this horse is definitely better than Workforce. I think we're dealing with at least a 130 RPR type horse. I actually think he could be the best that Stout's ever trained. I really do. I think that he is a really exciting horse. He could be better than Shergar. Can't wait.
Come on. Well, no, it's not. Because he said he could be. He could be. Anything could happen. It could be true.
Right, ask Paddy there. What price is it that Desert Crown could be better than Shergar, Paddy?
I wouldn't have a notion where to even start, David. That's perfectly honest with you.
You've got a dream, David. I am a dreamer, but to say he could be better than Shergar, like, holy God, like, that's...
Well, that we'll find out, lads. We'll find out. In the meantime, let's concentrate on Saturday's fare, which I stupidly said was on ITV4. It's actually on ITV4, and we'll start with the four at Haydock, the first of which is the 145. It's the Betfred Nifty 50 Achilles Stakes. It's a listed race over 5 furlongs. And here's the betting from Boyle Sports. Dragon Symbol is your fav at 5-2. Then it's 6-1 Clarendon House, 8 Ainsdale, 8 Atalis Bay and Tabdeed, and 10 Bar. And we'll start with David Jennings. Kick us off with a winner, mate.
It's an interesting card, actually, at Haydock. It's one of these Saturdays where there's nothing, obviously no standout race as such, but it's really, really competitive. I like one at a bit of a price here. I like Raziel for Mick Appleby and James Doyle. Dragon Symbol, to me, I hated the way he finished his race at York. I just thought it was almost a sign of a sprinter in rapid decline. Like, he was beaten a dozen lengths by Highfield Princess. I think with Raziel, I think he's five, but he's still improving. And I think these sprinters can go from handicaps to group races or listed races easier than stayers can. I think it's the transition is simpler. And I think with Raziel, the way he travels in his races, I think running in a better race might actually suit his style. And he actually beat Clarendon House. Now, I know Clarendon House is a little bit better off the weights here, but he beat Clarendon House at Goodwood. And he's a much bigger price than Clarendon House here. I think he's the one that's overpriced.
Righty-ho, we've got Raziel, who is a 10-1 short with Boyle Sports for David Jennings. Graham Rodway, who's your first tip of the day going to be?
I quite like Tab Deed for Archie Watson. There's nothing flashy about him, is there? He's not a Dragon Symbol. He's not going to be going on to win group one races, but maybe Dragon Symbol isn't going to be the way that things started off for him at York. He was very disappointing, wasn't he, in that group two race at York, and I couldn't be having him on my mind as favourite for this race. Of course, if he comes back to his best, he should win, but he's becoming the sort of horse who always finds a way to get beat and always goes off quite short. Whereas Tab Deed is a very solid performer. This is his level, if you know what I mean. He's not going to be any better than this, but you know he's going to turn up. You know he's going to run to RPR of 104, 105, around that sort of mark. And I just think that might be enough in this to win it. I'll certainly be interested in him each way, because we've got 11 runners here, and I can't see him being out the first three, Bruce. He's very consistent, Tab Deed.
Okay, neither of the lads like the Fav, Pordy, do you?
No, absolutely not, no. I think he's a massive lay. I'd be laying him in the place market. I think he ran horrendously in York. It didn't really come as a surprise to me, really. He's had a bunch of racing as a three-year-old, loads of runs, lots of hard races as well. Change of stable, then Archie Watson to Roger Varian. I can't imagine Roger Varian went to York with him undercooked, or there was many excuses. I'd imagine he'd want to have him fairly straight for his first run for the stable. I can't see him coming back from that run, to be honest. I think he's definitely going to be a horse on the downgrade. I'd be probably thinking probably more value in laying him in the place market, because I can just see him bombing, to be honest with you. Outside of that, if you put the gun to my head to back something, I think the rest of them are probably much of a muchness. Maybe I'd pitch with one of the top two. If there was more rain about, maybe Ainsdale. If not, maybe Atlas Bay.
Okay, so none of the lads have any love whatsoever for Dragon Symbol, the favourite in our first race. Let's move on to the 220 at Haydock. 1 mile, 4 furlongs is the trip for the Betfred Double Delight Handicap. Another competitive affair, 13 runners, and Boyle Sports make Forza Orta the 100-30 favourite from Contact, and Mara Jan, who are both 7-2, and then it's 15-2 HMS President. 11-1 bar, G-Rod, where does the value lie? At the top of the market or further down?
I think maybe further down, Bruce, because I quite like Zabil Champion at a very big price for John Joe O'Neill. Now, he was
you've hit your flat spot here, haven't you, G-Rod? You like big bucks. You were flying along, you were cantering along, telling us all about the classics, and you were confident in the first race. Now you've just hit your flat spot here, haven't you? You need to pick up the Ruby, needs to give you a little sharpener.
Yeah, that first race just sort of sent me to sleep a little bit, but this is a really competitive one, isn't it? I quite like Zabil Champion. Tom Markand, obviously one of the better jockeys around and absolutely flying at the moment. He gave Quick Fawn a superb ride at Sandown on Thursday night to win the Henry the whatever number it is. He was behind Forza Orta last time at York and Garzy. But I just wonder if this is his track. You know, sometimes you get Haydock horses, don't you? And his best recent performance over hurdles came at this track when he won the 2 mile series handicap hurdle final here in April. So I'm going to give Zabil Champion a chance just purely on his course form. He's around about 25-1. It's quite an eye-catching booking. Of course, John Joe O'Neill and Tom Markand.
Markand, that was a beautiful ride, that, as G-Rod says. Pordy, who do you like here?
I think probably Contact is the solid, most solid one. I think it's up. Is it up 5 pounds for beating Tritonic? Two lengths, obviously fitting well. I think that'd be very hard to kick out of the frame. And then possibly, I suppose, the other horse that stands out is it Marjan, the Haggis horse. I thought he definitely looks like a horse that has scope to win a big handicap off that mark. Whether he'd be fully ready on his first start of the season, I wouldn't be sure.
Thank you very much, David Jennings.
Oh, I hate myself for this, Bruce, but I fancy HMS President. Now, people are going to be moaning and groaning listening to this, but last time at Ascot, like, he's only 2 from 22, so that's obviously, you know, not good for starters. He's been placed, I think, 8 times. But last time at Ascot, I just got the impression he was seriously well backed. I think he was maybe 16 to 1 in the morning. He was backed into sevens. And you could certainly see why he was well back, because he travelled with loads of enthusiasm. He looked to have all his old zest back. And I thought the whole way up the straight that day, the race was won by Juan del Montalban. Keels actually tipped it up that day. He was quite sweet in it. But the whole way up the straight, Georgia Dobie rode HMS President, and she just never really got the room to do what she wanted to do. He was beaten 6 lengths in the end, but I just got the impression if he had got a little bit of room just to use that stride up the straight, he probably would have been beaten 3 or 4 lengths rather than 6. He's down to a mark of 88, and on his best form, I do think he's well handicapped. I think the long home straight at Haydock is going to suit him, and if they do go a fast pace and he sits in behind it, I think he's got a massive chance. Like, he's currently 15 to 2 a poddy there. He's the type of horse I could see going off about 11 to 2 or 6 to 1. I think he could be well backed again, and I think that third win could be just around the corner.
Jolly good. The 2.55 at Haydock on Saturday is the Betfred Pinnacle Stakes, a Group 3 for fillies and mares over a mile and a half. Again, very competitive. I feel bad now. I besmirched today's racing at the top of the show, and I said it was the worst Saturday because it's actually very competitive. There's no superstars, but it doesn't matter. They're good races. 10 go to post for this one. And C. La Rosa is Fav at 5-2 from Climate at 4s. And then Boyle Sports go 9-2 Noon Star, 11-2 Lady Hayes, 8-1 Delectable You and Nell Quickly, 12 bar. Porter, you can go first. Who do you like?
I like Nell Quickly. I think she'd only one run, I think, as a 2-year-old. And she had a massive season last year, just improved with every run. You'd love the way she goes about her business, head down, definitely tries her heart out. I think she doesn't have an awful lot to find on the front end. And if she's fitting well first time up, I'd say she should hit the frame.
Jolly good. We'll go next to David Jennings.
Oh, there's a wrong price here, Bruce. There's a wrong price. Yeah. Noonstar is far too big at 9-2. I was shocked to see her so big, to be honest with you. Like, Noonstar basically is priced on her last run in that Middleton Stakes, that Group 2 at York. But it's foolish to do that because it turned into a sprint. I think the winning time was over 2 seconds slower than the Dante. And that certainly didn't suit Noonstar, who I thought is crying out for a mile and a half. And she was running over 1.2 miles, and it turned into a sprint. To me, she's still like the one in this race who could progress through the ranks and could be a little bit better than Group 3 filly. Like, she made a winning comeback at Nottingham. It was more workmanlike than anything, and she was quite keen in the early stages. She was 8-11, and she had to really work hard to win. But I just think far too much has been read into that run at York. If you go back through her form, like, she was second to Snowfall in the Musidora last season. I think her form is better than all of these, and she's just priced up on that run last time. I think 9-2 is really big.
9-2 Noonstar, wrong price according to DJ. Do you concur, Graham?
No, not at all. No, I don't think she's got the best form in the race, and I think that she's vastly overrated filly, Noonstar. She always goes off short.
So she's a wrong price, as in too short.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think she'll go off bigger than 9-2 as well, but we'll see.
Think Emily Upjohn will go off 5-1?
No, he didn't say that. He just said she should be 5-1.
Exactly. There's a difference. There's a key difference there. I don't have a lot of time for Noonstar. I think she's overrated, but we'll find.
You've taken DJ's argument, put it in a black bin bag, and chucked it in the canal. Who do you fancy?
C. La Rosa again, Tom Marcand again, and William Haggis. Every horse that William Haggis trains that's owned by this fellow with the yellow silks and the purple star Sunderland Holding Inc. I mean, they're all good, aren't they? He's got one after the other, and they're all called C. I think they're all by C the Stars. And this is just another one that just keeps winning.
They're not all called C. My Prospero, my Astra.
C. Smith, C. Silf, is it, or something it's called?
What?
There's one called C. Silf, isn't there?
Yeah, but they're not all called C. You've got some really, like, My Prospero is really good.
My Prospero, yeah. Yeah, okay. That's
my Astra. My Oberon.
Or C or my.
Yeah. But wasn't Prospero in The Tempest?
What, is that what, the Shakespeare play? Or?
Yeah, I'm sure. Really? I'm sure.
That Prospero... you're pulling out Shakespeare on me now, Gio. What's going on here?
I'm sure.
Well, get back to the argument. This is getting weird.
I'm sure
weird.
Prospero was in The Tempest, and The Tempest was about the sea, you know, so there is a link there, I'm sure. Anyway. Go look that up. I don't know if that's true, but I think it might be. Anyway, yeah, I mean, all these haggis horses that are trained by haggis, all these fillies, they're just all good. And this one was just rapidly progressive last season. Again, they all stay very well. And I just think that this is, well, and look, this has got the best form in the race. I don't know what DJ's going on about. Like, See the Rosa has got the best form. Lady Hayes has got the next.
Hold on a second. How can you actually say that, right? Snowfall went on to win the Oaks after winning the Misadora by a record winning margin. The third horse home behind Noon Star in the Misadora was Tiona, who is now rated 113, and people are saying she's got a chance in the arc. And she went on to beat Snowfall in the Prix Vermeil. I don't know how you don't think that is the single best piece of form in the race.
Not the single best, but do you think that was the Snowfall that we saw in the arc? I don't in the Oak, I don't think it was. Anyway, well, yeah. See the Rosa will just win, DJ. Just back See the Rosa, forgetting about Noon Star, and, you know, you'll be happy tomorrow.
What's your favourite Shakespeare play, G-Rod?
Oh, that's a good question, isn't it? I like The Tempest. Probably The Tempest.
Have a think. We'll get your answer when we come back to you. Are we all done with that race, chaps? I think we are, aren't we? Yeah, right. Then let's move on to the final TV race at Haydock. The 330, which is the Betfred John O'Gaunt Stakes, a Group 3 over 7 furlongs. Kinross for King Rafe. 11-4 joint fav with Ball Sports along with Sunray Major. And then it's 7-2 Happy Power, 13-2 Spycatcher, 15-2 Lanikash, and 10 Pogo, 14 Misty Grey. Catch 22 is 40. 8 runners, each way potential. David Jennings, away you go. Who wins?
This is my nap of the weekend. I'm giving everything away here, Bruce. Kinross wins. This is just Kinross written all over it. Won the race last year. And you could certainly argue that it was a stronger race last year as well. You went off 5-1 co-favourite, but there were pretty solid horses in the race last year. You know, the likes of Glorious Journey, River Nymph, and Safe Voyage, when Safe Voyage was a better horse than he is now. The thing with him, like, he's fine fresh, I think. I do think Haydock suits him, and 7 furlongs is his trip. He's rated 114, and that puts him £6 clear of Sunray Major, who I think Graham thought Noon Star was overrated. I think Sunray Major has been overrated for most of his career as well, to be honest with you. Like, he went off 2-1 favourite for the Balmoral last year and was well beaten. I don't think he finds that much off the bridle. I think this is a poor renewal of this race, and I think Kinross, like, his form, I think he's not from 6 in Group 1s, but in Group 2s and 3s, he's 2 from 4. This is his level. He's just better than this calibre of horse. We've seen in the past that he's fine fresh. I know he didn't go to Maidan this season, and he went to Maidan when he won the race last season, but he's just a better calibre of horse than he's running against here. And people might point to Rafe Beckett's record at the minute. I think he's had like two winners from his last 31 runners. But the thing about it is, like, the ones who are supposed to run well have been running fine. I know he had a 1-12 favourite that didn't win as easy as it should. But, like, his favourites have been kind of either winning or being second or third. And it's more as kind of, you know, outsiders that have been running poorly. I wouldn't be reading too much into the stable form. For all the 2 from 31 doesn't sound great. I'll be disappointed if Kinross is beaten, Bruce.
See, G-Rod, you've been bickering with David Jennings right throughout the show, but he's put up a King Rafe here, and you just can't argue with that, can you?
Yeah. I mean, I can see the point. I mean, yeah, I would agree with him here. I do think King Ross is the best horse in this race and has the best piece of form. But, yeah, I mean, Rafe can't buy a winner, can he? I mean, you know, he's been, by his own standards, he's a very high kind of strike rate trainer, isn't he? And he's got a very low strike rate this year. So something ain't right at that yard, that's for sure. And we don't know whether this horse is in top form because he hasn't seen him recently. So we don't know if he's going to be an exception to the rule that they're generally just not running that well, or whether he isn't. You know what I mean? Like, so I couldn't back him. The one that I like is the one that DJ doesn't, which, you know, it's like a theme of the show, isn't it, at the moment? Sunray Major. Yeah, I mean, surely there's Sunray Major's just got a far more potential than Kin Ross has and Happy Power and horses like that. I mean, yeah, he's I can see the point in that he was beaten, he's been beaten a few times at short odds, but I mean, he's been set some stiff tasks, DJ, hasn't he? I mean, you know, he was fifth in Group 2 at Sandown behind Lights On. Last time out, he ran in the lock-ins, he was against Bayeed. I mean, there's not a Group 1 horse in this race, DJ. And this horse surely is the improver in the race. I mean, Sunray Major, I don't know, I can't understand what is DJ on today.
Okay, right, let's let Pordy Hassett adjudicate here. Pordy, who's right here out of these two?
I'd say neither of them are right.
Oh.
To be honest with you, I think Sunray Major is disappointing. There's no two ways about it. He'd promised loads and he hasn't delivered. I'd say he's a horse with a lot of ability, but I think I would say maybe later on the season you might see him gelded or running with cheek pieces. I just think he might have a mind of his own. I think Kinross is definitely the best horse in the race, but you'd have to be worried about the stable form. I mean, he's 2 from 31, but one of them was a 1-12 shot that fell over the line. So you would be worried. While they're not running terrible, they're just not flying. So you'd have to have a slight reservation about him. I just thought with the makeup of the race and with the 8 runners, Happy Power is coming here in good form. He hasn't an awful lot to find on Kinross. He's fit, he's well. There's probably not the best horse in the race, but he might be good enough to win tomorrow, and certainly I'd be surprised if he was out of first three.
Okay, gents, long run for the first break. 10 seconds, and then we're back with Beverly and Chester's TV action.
Are you football crazy? Then Racing Post's new podcast could be just for you. Mark Langdon's Bet Clubs brings all of the best football betting insight from Racing Post's top football tipster. As well as that, Mark will be joined each week by a friend from the betting community to guide listeners through their best bets. Simply search Mark Langdon's Bet Clubs on your podcast app of choice and listen today.
Right then, welcome back to the Postcast. It's Bruce Millington, David Jennings, Graham Rodway, and from Boyle Sports, Pordy Hassett. We've done the Haydock TV races on ITV on Saturday. Let's do the three at Beverley, starting with the 205. 5 furlongs is the trip for the Hillary Needler Trophy. It's a filly's condition stakes. 4 2-year-olds, so potentially some raw Ascot pointers to be gleaned from this. Wide open, 9 runners, Boyle Sports go 11-4, absolutely flawless. 4 distinguished lady, 4 Parfire, 11-2 Primrose Ridge, and 7 Bard. Graham Rodway, have you got a handle on this year's 2-year-old fillies?
I thought I saw a good one at Sandown, Maria Banham. Yeah, I thought
she. That was good, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, because I thought she did a lot wrong in that race and still won. But this is not thrown up that many Royal Ascot clues in the past. But who knows? Maybe this year will be different. So one that I like is Fragrance, who only just got home to beat an Ammo Racing horse last time out. It's been beaten since, but the time was very, very solid there. And I think that she's got a good draw in stall too, which obviously at Beverley, you usually want to be drawn towards that far side rail, although it has started to even itself up a bit in recent years. I'm going to stick with, what's it called? Fragrance.
It certainly is. Who is your selection, Pordy?
I just thought it was a very hard race to get a grasp on. I'd probably be happy enough just to lay the David Lochnan one. I thought that race in Chester might just have fell in her lap a small bit. They looked to go very fast early on in the races. I think it was set up for the ones that were out the back, but no real strong view. I'd probably just lay the favourite.
Absolutely flawless is the favourite, and Pordy's not confident. What do you make of this one, David Jennings?
Yeah, I agree with Pordy. I think you have to take her on. It fell apart a bit at Chester, and while she was quite impressive at the line, I think you have to take her on. The one that I like is Primrose Ridge for Daryl Holland and Jack Mitchell. I thought the best kind of filly's juvenile race was the listed race at York last time, the Marygate. Pillow Talk won it. And I actually thought Primrose Ridge didn't actually run as bad as her finishing position suggests. She finished sixth, but she showed loads of speed there. She was as fast as any of them. And she comes back to the track that she won her novice race over. And I know she's drawn in stall 9, but that day when she won at Beverly, she was drawn in 14. And she had no problem with the early speed to get across. I think she's probably the quickest of these over maybe 3 furlongs. And I think if she does get across to that rail, she could be hard to catch. I'm going to give her another chance, Primrose Ridge.
God, I tell you what, we haven't had a short favourite all day, and we still haven't. In the 240 at Beverly, the Bet365 handicap over 7.5 furlongs, it's 11-4 the field with Boyle Sports, Percy's Lad being the favourite. Ugo Gregory, 7-2 along with Wob, Wob, Wob. 8-1 Blue For You, 9 I'm a Gambler, and 10 Rising Star, 11 Bar. Portis, tough old day this, isn't it?
Yeah, it's tough. Another tough race. I like the favourite. I thought since it changed stables, it's just took off. It's two runs for its new trainer. Daniel and Claire Kubler, yeah.
Interesting interview with them in the week, actually. Yeah, that was good, that.
It's just took off. Like, it's absolutely hosed up in its first run from. It's backed it up then again in Nottingham. It's won a lot easier than it looked in Nottingham. It pricked its ears and had a good look around going to the line. So I think the £6 rise might be enough to stop it from going in again.
Righty-ho, Percy's Lad is Portie's selection. Who's DJ's selection?
I'm going to chance Ugo Gregory for Tim Easterby, whose horses are actually going really well at the minute. He's been disappointing this season. He's had 3 starts and, he's been near last and first in all 3, but he's dropped from 84 down to 78. And I think the key thing here could be just to switch to Beverly. I think his last 2 wins have actually been at Beverly. And he's back down to the identical mark that he won off last September at Beverly as well. Just think he suits the track and his style seems to suit it as well. So I thought while he's priced kind of, he's priced up pretty short on what he's done so far this season, he could just be down to a manageable mark again.
Thank you very much. Graham Rodway, your tip?
Wob, wob, wob. I was at York last time out and they punted this thing like it couldn't lose in a 6 furlong handicap there. It's just not quick enough. All his best form is over 7 furlongs and got badly outpaced and then was keeping on towards the line. Shaped like it was desperately needed step back up in trip. Gets it here, stiff track, so wob, wob, wob.
Wob, 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 brilliant. 3:15 at Beverly, 5 furlongs, the Bet365 2-year-old trophy, condition stakes, 8 runners. Whistle and Flute is favourite at 15-8 with Boyle Sports for Eve Johnson Horton. And then it's 9-2 Chateau and Rogue Spirit, 11-2 JM Jungle. 8-1 Bar. David Jennings, your turn to go first.
What a name. Whistle and Flute. How did that get in?
Whistle and Flute?
Yeah.
What? Yeah.
Right. Is Whistle and Flute just not rhyming slang for suit?
Exactly, it is. It is. There's a bit of Cockney in you, yeah. Porter. Yes, yeah, well done, mate.
You can edit all this out, Sam.
No, it's fine.
Go on, start again.
No, it's good. That's good. But your Porty is right.
Anyway.
Whistling Flute means suit in Cockney rhyming slang, okay? Right, who wins?
Okay, well then, I obviously have a very dirty mind and got that completely wrong. I fancy Chateau for Andrew Balding, who travelled like a dream. It was obviously very well fancied first time out at Salisbury, but things didn't go according to plan. Didn't really get much of a run, was bumped after the start as well, and was still only beaten a length and a quarter. It was only a 5-runner race, but I thought he showed more than enough to suggest that he could have plenty of potential as a 2-year-old, and he's well related as well. So I'm going to chance Chateau.
Okay, Graham Rodway, who are you going to go for?
Yeah, no, I think Whistle and Flute will win. He was impressive first time out of Bath, and then last time out he was beaten by Bakil at Ascot, and third was Fragrance, the one that I fancy for the Hillary Needler. I think that's strong form, and I think the Fab will win. Whistle and Flute.
Thank you very much, Porty.
Yeah, I'm with DJ. I like Chateau. I thought he was very green on debut. And obviously coming from Andrew Balding's, his 2-year-olds usually improve a good deal from one run to the next. So I'd go with Chateau.
Lovely. And finally on ITV, it's the 3:45 at Chester. 7.5 furlongs is the trip. ICM Stella Sports Handicap. And there's 11 runners. Boyle Sports go 9-4. Boardman, 3 Fools Rush In, 6... A good old mate, Oh This Is Us. 7, Tom Frey, another King Rafe. 10-1 Bar. Graham Rodway, what do you make of this?
Yeah, I think this could go to Hugo Palmer's runner. He obviously is the local trainer now. He's taken over at Manor House Stable. So he'll be desperate for a winner at Chester as always. And yeah, I thought Fool's Rush In ran a big race there last time out over the course and distance, set quite a fierce pace and was still bang there inside the final furlong. Yeah, lost a couple of places near the line. But yeah, I think a reproduction of that form will probably be enough. He's running off the same mark. Fool's Rush In for me.
Who for you, Pordy?
Oh, a tentative vote now, but I'd probably pitch with Oh, This Is Us. It's just dropping down the handicap. It's won around the course and distance, which is always a help in this place. So I'd probably just chance him and draw quite well as well.
And DJ?
Oh, Bored Man. Well drawn in two. This is one of the stronger favourites of the day, I thought. It's hard to believe. Like, you very rarely these days get a horse who's won twice in two of its last three starts, and it's only £5 higher than it was when it won first time. I thought, you know, one with probably a little bit more in hand than the official winning distance at Thirst last time. It's only gone up £3, has won at the track, well drawn, plenty of positives for Boardman.
Okay, loads more racing on this weekend. We'll see who the boys fancy in just a jiffy.
Stay ahead of the field with Racing Post Members Club, featuring unlimited access to the Racing Post digital newspaper, exclusive online content, replays from all UK and Irish racecourses, and more. If you're a new customer, you can use the code POST22 to get 50% off your first 3 months of Members Club Ultimate. Head to racingpost.com/postcast to find out more.
Okay, we've done the TV action. Let's see what else the boys fancy this weekend. We've got DJ's local track, Navan. We've got G-Rod's local track, Chelmsford. We've got Punchestown. We've got Catterick. We've got Cartmel, Salisbury, Fosslass. Absolutely loads and loads of racing. Got some jumps on Sunday. David Jennings, what else should we be backing? Don't give your nap away.
There's a couple that I like at Punchestown. It's a reasonably decent jumps card at Punchestown. A few familiar faces in the first race, the handicap chase. The likes of Battle Over Diane, Embittered, Unaccepted is back in action on its first start for Paddy Roach. Unaccepted could do anything because he's got loads of ability. But I did think it was probably worth chancing Ted Walsh's Kildarory, who was disappointing last time when sent off favourite at Ballinrobe. But if it came back to the form a time before when it bolted up a Cork off 125, I thought Kildarory could be hard to beat in that. And then
120.
On, 120, what did I say?
You just said the handicap chase, which is absolutely apologies. Useless to anybody. Go on.
Apologies. And two more. Naughtiness, I thought, looked like a very useful recruit to the game when she won. Naughtiness runs in the 233, sorry, the Mayor's Novice Hurdle. I thought she was very stylish when she won at Tipperary. She traded quite big in running because she was out of her ground that day. But she's a really talented mare. I think she'll take all the beating in the 233. And the 308, our old friend Off You Go, runs in this, and it looks a really, really good opportunity for Off You Go. Second, she wears it well in a hurdle race at Clarny last time, and just looks to have been found a glorious opportunity by Charles Burns with Mark Walsh on board. That's Off You Go in the 308.
Excellent. G-Rod, are you focusing your attention on Chelmsford?
I've not actually looked at Chelmsford this week, Bruce, because although it is my local track, I do love a bet there. I'm not actually going there this weekend because I am going to Cartmel.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I cannot wait.
No, are you making your debut at Cartmel?
I have never been to Cartmel.
You are in for such a treat, mate. Yeah, like, you have to go racing at Cartmel. Everybody who's listening to this show, you must go to Cartmel. It's the most stunningly beautiful, unique, weird and wonderful racing experience. So what are you doing, a day trip, or are you going to take the family up to the lakes for a couple of days?
Yeah, no, we're going to go racing, then we're going to go around the lakes for a couple of days, and then we're going to come back just in time for Epsom on the weekend. Yeah, so looking forward to it. Yeah, it should be a great trip up to Cartmel. I've never been. I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait to see the Priory and the Woodside and the sticky toffee pudding shop.
Yeah, oh, honestly, G-Rod, it's brilliant. I really hope you have nice weather, because it is one of the most wonderful places on earth to go racing.
Yeah, so in the 319 at Cartmel, I quite like Ask Paddington, who beat one of my horses that I backed last time out, called Marriage Man. And Marriage Man went through the race like he was going to win it easily. And this Ask Paddington just turned up and blew him away over the last couple of flights, won by 9 lengths. Yeah, I think that he's well ahead of his mark, Ask Paddington. He's gone up, he's been whacked up £8. I think he'll go in again. So that's my big hope for a winner at Cartmel on Saturday. And one other that I've been keeping an eye on that Tom Siegel actually put me onto this angle is the... I don't know if Tom's a great breeding man, but he reckons that horses by Siouni out of Galileo Mares is like quite a sort of hot cross. I think there was one called St. Mark's Basilica who was quite good, who was by Siouni and out of a Galileo Mare. And I think Sotsas also was another Siouni out of Galileo Mares. So basically, he got me thinking about breeding, and I thought, well, I'll actually put his theory to test. You know, I'll run out some stats on all horses by Siouni out of Galileo Mares. And sure enough, if you backed every horse that was by Siouni out of a Galileo Mare on every single one, you'd have had, I think, 20-odd winners out of 90 runners. So it's, it's quite a good angle, and it's only marginally profitable, but is profitable at SP as well. And there is a Galileo horse... A Siouni horse out of a Galileo mare running in the 455 at Chester called Cartib, who I backed on this system last time out at Lingfield. He was really heavily backed. I backed him, I think, about 7-2, 4-1. He went off 15-8 favourite, and he got turned over on his handicap debut. But he kept on quite strongly, and I thought it was a promising effort. So on the Siouni Galileo Mare cross system, Cartier,
which is only marginally profitable, brackets.
Yeah, that's an SP, remember? You know, so, you know, okay. A marginally profitable SP is pretty good. So, yeah, 455 at Chester, Cartier, by Siouni out of Newton's Knight, who is a Galileo Mare.
Okay. That's one for your notebook, Pordy. Get that one in your system there, mate. What have you got for us, Pordy? Don't give the map away.
I think David Jennings stole a few of mine there. I think I was going to Punchestone. I liked Kildare in the 120 also. I'd say horse that doesn't win too often, but he's a stonewall to be in the first three. Maybe if you were that way inclined, you could back him into place betting. The 155, I like a horse called What's a Fella to Do. Now, this horse is lightly raced. He was probably a 120 plus horse over hurdles at one stage. I think it's got a handicap mark over fences. I think it was pretty eye-catching on its last start back in this, but a while ago now, back in December. It was a big eye-catcher that day in Clonmel. I'd say he could be well handicapped and will win a race at some stage, whether it's tomorrow or not. And I'm also looking forward to seeing that mare naughtiness. She was very impressive in Tipperary, and she looked very good that day. She done plenty of work wrong in the race and still won very easily.
Lovely stuff. Thank you very much, Pordy. Right then, let's get the naps. If you only have one bet this weekend, who's it going to be?
This will not be beaten.
We'll start with Pordy Hassett. Who's your weekend nap?
The 453 in Punchestown, the weekend nap is, his name is Mr. Devitt. He's only had two starts for Peter Fahey after getting, I just thought that his last run in Punchestown was a massive eye catcher. Finished fifth, was dropped way out the back in a 25 runner handicap, got a lot of traffic coming through the field, and was staying on best to the finish. He's definitely handicapped. He's definitely well handicapped and going to win off that mark. I'd say he looks a bet.
His name is Mr. Devitt in the 453 at Punchestown. Interesting. David Jennings?
Oh, definitely Kinross 330 Haydock.
And Graham Rodway.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Fool's Rush in 345 Chester for Hugo Palmer, his local track Chester.
Brilliant stuff. Thank you so much, gents. G-Rod, do enjoy Cartmel. I hope you have a great time there. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you have a winning weekend. Do bet responsibly. Do join Maddie on Monday. And then we're back next Friday looking ahead to the Derby.